Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. And we will get ready for our study on New Year's Eve, our fellowship time together, and close it out with a communion service, toasting in the new year and goodbye to the old year. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And if James Webb makes it in, we'll sing. And in fact, we may sing even if I have to lead it. But And we were at the funeral home Sunday afternoon, and they were talking about the music program and the family, and nearly everyone in the family are singers in her family, every one of them. And so we're sitting there, and I'm sitting back there, and I said to the funeral director, I said, Bill, you realize they didn't ask me to do any singing? He said, you know, that did not skip my attention that you weren't asked to sing. And so let's begin with a word of prayer as we get ready for our New Year's celebration. Heavenly Father, author of time, determinant of time, we praise you tonight, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are. We thank you, Father, that we have no fear of tomorrow, no fear of whatever may befall us this year, this coming new year. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to bless and utilize our outreach of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right, Mr. James Webb, why don't you come and let's do some singing here.
Just the time I need them is all.
James Webb. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you, Judith. Let's open the Word of God to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to start the book of Daniel, but no, we're not. No. This one verse to kick us off.
Is this a preamble?
Preamble. There was working in Daniel that inspired, led me to this special tonight. So let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Spirit of the living God to open your eyes to what's going on in this passage. 2013, this is not going to be any prophecy tonight. I'm not a prophet. I don't ever do that. But we can see trends occurring and going on. And there are trends that have been going on for some 50 years in regard to the removal of God from our society, the removal of God from our judicial system, our educational system, and those things have repercussions, and we're seeing the repercussions. And this year, I think one of the final great movements that must be done in this country is to disarm it. The greatest standing army in the world is the armed Americans. And so Satan has got to have a plan for taking away and disarming American citizens. And this is just one of the things I believe that we're going to be seeing increasingly in the next year. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we made up our mind we're going to turn to you, not to our Constitution, but to your word. Not to our political leaders, but to you. You are our hope, our confidence, and your word is a light into our path. Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead us now as we go through these passages. In Christ's name, amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 is going to kick it off. kick off what we're going to be doing tonight. Daniel 1, 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. We'll take a look at the verse when we come into chapter 1 in Daniel. But what we want to concentrate on is that phrase, made up his mind. A 15-year-old boy, drastically taken, violently taken from his home, from his land, and faced with unbelievable questions. What is going to happen to him? And this 15-year-old boy made up his mind. The first principle of 2013 is to make up your mind. Not about weight loss, not about financial security, but make up your mind what you're going to do about God, about Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit, and about the Word of God. Make up your mind what you're going to do throughout the year, no matter what happens. That's the ideal of making up your mind. You make up your mind, no matter what happens, this is what I'm going to do. And if Daniel dies as a 15-year-old boy, he's ready. He's made up his mind what he is not going to do and what he is going to do. And he has made up his mind he is not going to defile himself. And I'll just head you off. This does not mean to be a vegetarian. This means to be defile himself with the world. People, there comes a time in life when all of us have to make up our mind about Jesus Christ. People believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, maybe as a young person, a child, and going through life. But every now and then you hear stories where they think this was their salvation. You know, they reach that point where, you know what? Jesus Christ is going to have to be the center of my life. I'm going to take him seriously about living for him. Not just fitting him into my schedule, but he's going to be my life. And generally when that happens to people, it's because something else happened. Some trauma, some challenge, some loss, and they just make up their mind, I'm going to live for Christ. Rarely do we do that when we first believe in Him as Savior. There are those that do. But most of the time, we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, go on with our life, get things, and then something happens. You know what? I'm going to have to make up my mind. So, make up your mind what you're going to do and where the Word of God is going to fit into your life. Now, next, that introduces our study. He made up his mind. When you make up your mind, that's it. I don't care about the alternatives. I don't care about what's going to happen. I've made up my mind. This is where I stand. Now look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 3. Daniel 9, 3. Now look at the way it's worded. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him. We have two determining factors here. I gave my attention to seek Him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, you have to decide, what do you give your attention to? What do you give your attention to throughout your life? And don't kid yourself. Everyone knows exactly what this means. You pay attention to these things. There are things that we all pay attention to and things we do not. I've learned since I've been married, I need to pay attention to other things, but that I've never really paid attention to. And that's fine. But people are making the point here is we all have things we pay attention to. Here it means to pay attention to seek the Lord. Now, how do you seek the Lord? One is by prayer and supplication. Here Daniel explains exactly what kind of prayer. What's the difference between prayer and supplication? His supplications are direct petitions. Not just generalities, but direct petitions. First Daniel made up his mind where he was going to go for the solutions for guidance to the Lord in prayer and specifically prayers of petition. Now look down at verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to thy truth, to thy word. Now we have two phrases here that are going to be part of the momentum of this New Year's Eve study. Sought the favor, and secondly, given attention. We're going to see giving attention in a couple other passages. But this is giving attention, seeking the favor. Seeking the favor of God, how? By giving attention to His Word. Okay, what's going on here? Judah is in great trouble. And it's in trouble with the holiness of God. They have not turned to the Lord in the way the Lord desires. He has disciplined. He has brought them to this point of being captured, taken to Babylon, and they're still not paying attention. So let's deal with the phrase, seeking the favor of the Lord. The first key phrase for our study, seeking the favor of the Lord. What does this mean, to seek the favor of the Lord? What do we do here? People, this is a very important phrase. There are a lot of people who tell you, if you want the favor of the Lord, you've got to be moral. You've got to go to church. You've got to give a tithe. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. God will look down on you, and He'll be pleased with what you do, and then He will bless you. Now, let me give you a clue. Seek the favor of the Lord. If we understand accurately Scripture, this means we're going to walk by the filling of the Spirit, by faith, led by the Holy Spirit. But let's look at it in context. Seek the favor of the Lord. People, they are in disfavor right now. They have turned from His Word. They have turned from the sacrifices. They have turned from the Passover. They have just neglected God. So, He now is displeased with them. So, what He's talking about here, I will seek the favor of the Lord. He says, to seek Him to deal kindly with Israel, with me, with Judah. Paying attention. Paying attention. Look what it says now down below. I seek the favor of the Lord, our God. Now, how am I going to seek this favor? By turning from our iniquity, that's the negative, and giving attention to thy truth, thy word. Two things that they have not done. They have not turned from their iniquity, and they have not paid attention to the truth of God. They've not paid attention to the word. So, paying attention to the word. What is the truth of the Lord? People, that's His word. That's the scriptures. And for Daniel, that's Moses, Job, Jeremiah, Isaiah. It's all these people. He has had, and they're in his hand, they're these manuscripts. He's well familiar with them. So he is going to pay attention to the scriptures. His word, biblical scripture, Bible doctrine, if you please. His ways are revealed in His Word. That's the key. His way is revealed in His Word. Giving attention to the study of the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and what is the key obedience that God is always looking for? That's faith. How do we obey? By faith. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles 20. Powerful passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. I was going to have Chris Day come up and tell you about 2 Chronicles, what it's about, its date frame and all, but I can't just throw that on him on New Year's Eve. I want him to come back next year, so we won't do that. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read it from the NIV. I love the NIV here. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now, the New American Standard says, and Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Now, people, the conditions in America are going to continue to move further and further away from God. It's not a prophecy, it's just based on what's going on. We're going to continue to move away from the Word of God, from His Son, from the work of Christ on the cross, from Jesus Christ. And as we move further and further away, we're going to become a dark continent. And conditions are going to get worse. So they're going to get worse in this country, especially for those who desire to study this Word and to live by it. I feel sorry. I really feel sorry for young children today. The people that Brian and Larry have over and Chris and Lori Daig have over there, I feel sorry. The sex standards today are just too challenging. The way people dress today, just too challenging. But most important is the entire educational system is against the Word of God. That God is the creator of all things. All these things that are going on. It's going to be very difficult for a young person to stay in the Word. But he's going to have to make up his mind, as we saw with Daniel. So these are the conditions. that are going on in our own country today that Jehoshaphat is looking at. Now, let's take a look at Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is alarmed. Now, I prefer alarmed over feared. The New American Standard says, was afraid. The NIV says, alarmed. Now, what I do like about the New American Standard is alarmed and turned his attention are right next to each other in the Hebrew. That's the way the Hebrew emphasizes. You just learn these little bits of emphasis in the original language. And it says, Jehoshaphat alarmed and turned his attention. They're just the two words right next to each other. Now, Jehoshaphat is alarmed. What is alarming him? What is alarming Jehoshaphat is the spiritual condition of Judah, the southern kingdom. And he is well aware of God's discipline or the wrath of God. One of the most important principles from the book of Ezekiel is the purpose of divine discipline. The purpose of God sending his wrath. What we'll be seeing in Daniel, the purpose of sending the Babylonians against Judah. And the purpose of these things are to know that I am God. I am God. And what's happening to you is because you have rejected your relationship with me. It's not just discipline. It's discipline designed for restoration. The goal of discipline, the objective of divine discipline, is restoration. This isn't punishment. Punishment is on the cross. God disciplines nations, disciplines individuals. And so he is alarmed. He's looking at the conditions of the Judah. God brings disasters, and he knows that. Judgments, wrath on the nations as well as on individuals, to remind them that he is God, and to encourage these people to what? Set their mind back on him. Get their mind back focused on him. So Jehoshaphat is alarmed at all that is going on in Judah. People, just as believers today who know doctrine should be alarmed at what's going on in this country, judicially, morally, education, spiritually. Every born-again believer that knows this book and knows the truth should be alarmed. It's not going to get better. My friend John Hintz is an optimist. He still thinks and hopes for a revival in this country. It's too late, I believe. I believe it's too late. We have set our course. And you just see these things happening. And I'm alarmed at what's happening in America. I'm alarmed by it. And I'll probably have it somewhere in my notes, but let me just say, and the solution is not to go out and say, look what the Constitution says. Look what the Bill of Rights says. Look what the Declaration says. Look at these things. Look at the Second Amendment. People, forget it. This is not what this country needs. It doesn't need this Constitution. That was written by man. When you get back to the Word, when you get back to the Gospel, we need to get back to what's truth. So Jehoshaphat looked and he became alarmed. And he became alarmed so that he's going to do something. He's going to resolve in his soul something. And as we look at these things as born again believers, you're going to have to make up your mind in 2013 about what you're going to do. Do not look at the king. Do not look at our presidential leaders. Do not look at the Constitution and try to be a preacher of it. And try to show everybody what it says. It's not about the Constitution. The Constitution is not what is at issue. It's about this book. It's about the truth of God's Word. So look what he did. He became alarmed. And what does that alarm cause him to do? It causes him to resolve. To resolve to inquire of the Lord, to go to the Lord for answers and guidance. And as I said, I like the way both the NIV and the NASV worded here, and Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Or, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. We have two Hebrew words of action. One is a response to what's going on. The other is what I'm going to do about it. That's what's going on. As I said in the Hebrew, they're right next to each other to give you the condition in Jehoshaphat's mind. The drama that's going on. Alarmed. And I like alarm better than afraid. I'll tell you why. Alarm, to me, is more befitting here. What do you do when you sound the alarm? That's a signal. See, you sound an alarm, that's a signal that warns or alerts. Just a very silly example. You have a fire detector in your home. And you're asleep, and all of a sudden you hear it go off. Beep, 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 whatever, yours makes a sound. See? That alarms you. Now what are you going to do? Scream and crawl under the bed? Let the fire consume you? I'm probably going, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. What are you going to do when you're alarmed? This is the great issue. I need to go buy more guns. I need to buy about 6 months' supply of food and water. I need to do this. I need to do that. No! We need to turn to the Lord. Look what he says. Alarmed. He is alarmed. Let me tell you what's going on, people. God is warning Judah. And Jehoshaphat knows it. And he's alarmed by it. God is warning America. But our leaders have turned cold and have a hardness against God. Therefore, it behooves every believer to know the Word of God, know doctrine, and to be alarmed personally. Things are not right. Things are getting worse. I personally am alarmed. I love this country, people. And trust me, I love that Constitution. I love that Bill of Rights. But I've come to the realization it's not about a Constitution. It's not about a Bill of Rights. We better understand it's about this book. It's about our God. That's what it's about. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat, alarmed, resolved to inquire of the Lord. This is the same Hebrew word we had in Daniel 9:3. Gave my attention. The first thing you have to do when alarmed is to decide what you're going to do. Who are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to the government? Turn to the Constitution? Forget it. Look what they've already done with that. They don't care about it. It's not eternal. We're going to turn to something that is alive. I like the NIV translation, resolved. He is determined, resolved to turn to the Lord. And here I'm going to deal with some stuff that I got from George Crabb, C-R-A-B-B. Quote, to determine is more or especially an act of judgment. To resolve is an act of the will. One is judgment, the other is action. So, he says to determine is more or especially an act of judgment. You make a judgment of what he ought to do in these adverse circumstances. And as we know, Jehoshaphat, he's going to make his judgment to turn to the Lord. You've got to have to decide what you're going to turn to. You're going to fall apart? Well, it's all over. Hide my guns, turn in my guns, get food, don't get food, do this, do that. You got to make up your mind. And that's where determination comes in. You make a judgment. And then comes the resolve. To resolve is an act of the will. The whole study of the word courage comes from the idea of resolve. We determine how or what we shall do. This requires examination, choice. Well, let me see. I can continue fighting the machinery that's tearing this country apart, that's taken God out of our system, and I can stand and fight on that Constitution. I can go on these things. I can get more guns, do this, do that. You got to make some choices. People, we're living in a tremendously important point in history. Might say, boy, I wish I didn't have to, but that's our lot in life. We are here, and America has changed. It isn't changing, it has changed. In my lifetime, it's changed. The family structure alone has changed. The educational system has changed. The military has changed. You have to make up your mind. Well, now, I see that these things are happening. Now comes the part of determination. You got to make up your mind. What am I going to do? So you got to determine how and what you're going to do. It requires choices. You analyze and pick out the best one. And then we resolve that we're going to do it. First of all, you have to determine, and then you resolve. And resolve, as we're going to see, requires the courage to carry through with what you're thinking. So the first step is vital. Determining what you're going to do. Where are you going to turn? This is your choice. Are you going to turn to the Lord? Are you going to turn to the government? Are you going to turn to this book? Are you going to turn to the Constitution? And I'm sorry, it's like two different mountains. You can't stand on both. You have to make up your mind where your battle is now. Your resolve is of little consequence if you choose the wrong determination. You make the determination, I'm going to have to get guns and ammo and all this stuff and fight for the Constitution and all. Your resolve doesn't matter how much well you do it. You're in the wrong battlefield. Here's where the real battle for many Christians comes into play. They know they must turn to the Lord. And some even know they must turn to His Word. Few of them even know that. I have an acquaintance, young person, going to a church, wasn't getting any truth. So he decides, I want to know more. And where does he end up? In a hyper-Calvinistic church. He's learning, but he's not learning truth. It is so important about your determination and then your resolve. But these believers know, I know I need the Word, but then it's not long before they become distracted, easily distracted to various other things. Maybe works, emotionalism, singing, whatever it may be, money, sports, family. I want you to notice something about Daniel and Jehoshaphat. Both these men call upon the people, the Jews, to join in their determination to turn to the Lord and resolve to seek Him. Let me give you a principle, 2013. People, you may not believe that we're in this kind of condition. I do. And therefore, that's what I'm doing tonight. It is so important to be aware of whom you associate with. Quote from Crabb, there can be no cooperation with one who is not undetermined. When you're in a drastic situation, there can be no cooperation with one who is undetermined. Let me give you some example of that. Man has become a real strong leader of a conservative movement, wants us to join with the Mormons, with all these people, and Christians do it, and all this. People, we got to stand for something that's truth. And it's not about American freedom. It's about the Word of God and the truthfulness of God's Word. It is dangerous to cooperate with one who is undetermined, with no resolve. It's dangerous. Danger to be determined without resolve. That's dangerous. To be determined, but no resolve with it. It is equally dangerous to resolve without proper determination. I'll give you a few examples. This is not original. This is not running anybody down. You hear about it all the time on the sports thing. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is definitely resolved to win a Super Bowl. He is obsessed with that. He is resolved, we are going to put together a team and win a Super Bowl. However, he is determined that it will be by his leadership. He will be the coach, he will be the general manager, he will be everything. He's got a good resolve. But look at his determination. It will be under me. It will be by my doing. So that's what I'm trying to say. You've got to check your determination, and then you've got to check your resolve. As we move into 2013, please be careful on your determinations. Determine to turn to the Lord and be so fixed in your resolve that nothing is going to interfere with where you have decided and how. To the Lord, by His Word, by His Spirit, through prayer. And I personally beckon you, make up your own mind. Picking a phrase from Daniel, make up your mind about where understanding, knowing the Bible, Bible doctrine is going to fit into your life in 2013. Where the Bible is going to be in your daily guide. And then make up your mind about an assembly. Where the truth is taught as you understand and see the truth. I'm not saying it's here, but you got to make up your mind. That's going to be it, and then your party resolve is to find where I can find that. Then you resolve to be there and study the Word of God. I wish there were more here tonight. I don't want to preach to the choir. We're not here. But people, we just have two times a week here. Two times a week. And we have people that can't make it two times a week. Just can't do it. One time, okay. Sunday morning, that's it. We can't do that. People, that's not resolved. I believe they're determined. Determined it's going to be the truth of the Bible, but it hasn't turned into a resolve. And I don't know what point in American history is going to be where Jehoshaphat and Daniel became alarmed. And become alarmed. And realize how important the study of the Word of God is. Wednesday night, we're learning things about Jesus Christ I've never known. To my discredit. But at least we're doing it. We're going on that journey. People don't care. Majority of people in this very assembly, they don't care. They don't care about it. They're too busy. What happens if they're alarmed? And is that what it's going to take? One's personal convenience usually leads to determination. One's necessity gives rise to resolve. When you see what's going on, then you'll turn to resolve. A Christian in normal life determines to go to church, study the Bible maybe, even pray. But a Christian under tribulation, personal or national, resolves in their soul, I need this every day. They make that resolve to stay on that path of the Word of God on doctrine and prayer in the difficulty of time. Daniel did these two things. Jehoshaphat did these two things. They were alarmed, and then they determined, and then they resolved, and they did not move from it. Daniel is not going to be moved from it. We'll see this starting Sunday morning. If I die, I die. But let me just try to work with you to the man in charge of him. Let me just tell you what we're going to do here. And he was determined. And if the man had said no, take us out. Take us outside the city and kill us like you're supposed to. But I'm determined. I've resolved. I'm not going to defile. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. And Jehoshaphat determined what he was going to do, and then he resolved to carry it out. And as things continue to escalate against God in America, many Christians may determine to learn more of the Bible, but they may be weak in their resolve. They don't carry it out. Jehoshaphat, alarmed and resolved to inquire of the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? First of all, we understand this by faith in the Holy Spirit. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in His Word. This is where He'll be found. And thirdly, in prayer. We just studied John 17, the great prayer of our Lord. And then it says, and He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Well, what's going on here? It means to stop everything. See, we don't emphasize fasting today because of the great, wonderful bachelor invention called a microwave. We can put it in there and it's cooked in minutes. We don't spend 2 or 3 hours preparing the meal. Unless you're a really good chef and cook, like Philip MacMillan. But if you're just like me, stick it in the microwave, nuke it, take it out and eat it. That's a good piece of steak. Nuke it. Let's go. I don't have time. See? So what's fasting? Fasting is stopping normal life. Stop it! Devote that time to the study of Scripture and to prayer, entreating the Lord. Stop doing these other things that you normally would do in your life and devote that time to the study of the Word of God and to prayer. Okay, before we go to our final few messages, let's take a brief break. And we'll just have a little fellowship time. And when Wes Tuttle's playing the piano, that will be the sign to let's resume our study. So open the Word of God to Proverbs 16. Continue right on with our study. We just saw Jehoshaphat alarmed and resolved. Now we look at Proverbs chapter 16, and let's look at verse 20. Proverbs 16, 20. He who gives attention, and there's our word, gives attention to the word, shall find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Powerful verse. Just puts it right into perspective. It's one of the most beautiful verses in that respect. This time we have a different word, though, for give attention. We've already studied give attention. We have a different word for give attention. This time we have a hiphil, and the hiphil is causative of the verb meaning to act with insight. This verb means to act with insight. Give attention deals primarily with action of insight, to understand, to be prudent. Here is the believer in tribulation, either personally or nationally. And in his or her determination, they are determined to turn to the Lord. Their determination is based on being prudent upon deciding what they should do. God, I should say, are you prudent? Are you prudent in making determination in your life? And what we just saw a few moments ago, it's very important about whatever you make that determination about. If it's the wrong determination, it doesn't matter what your resolve is. So this is being prudent. This is almost like a step before being resolved, is to be prudent. And the hiphil stem means caused to give attention. He is caused to give attention to the Word of God. People, you have to know the Word of God, and the more you give understanding to the Word of God, the more you give attention to the Word of God, in time of tribulation, you will have that resolve that no matter what happens, I cannot lose. Our passage says, he who gives attention to the word shall find good. Okay, good. Good here is a word that God is so concerned about for every believer. And with that in mind, look at Romans 8:28. You'll be able to come back to the Proverbs 16, but let's look at Romans 8:28 that most of you already know, but let's look at it in our text. We saw in our study in the Gospel of John 13 through 17 how the Lord is concerned about our having joy. Well, God is also concerned about our good. Now, we may have our ideal of what is good, but does it line up with the Lord? So, Romans 8:28, look at where it starts. And we know. Uh-oh. How do we know? By the study of the Word of God. This isn't just some kind of mystical knowledge that comes to us. We know from God's Word. We know from Scripture. And then what do we know here? That God causes all things, prosperity, tribulation, national, personal, good, bad, to work together for good. Okay, there's our word, good. But good is one of those words that depends on the circumstances and really depends on the one defining the word. That's really what it depends on. This is really good. Well, not really for me. A table with broccoli and all Brussels sprouts and all that. Somebody, oh, this is really good. I'm sitting there going, what are we going to eat? This is not good. So good depends on the person who is using the word. What may be good for one person is not necessarily good to another. So here refers to good according to God. Therefore, we're going to have to know God's plan. What is good to God? The calamity of the Babylonian captivity of Judah, how they came in and rocked the city, may be bad for Judah, but it's good. It's good in the long term of God's plan for Judah. So, the good has to be put in the terms of the Lord, not in our terms. That God causes all things to work together for good. Okay, that's not the end of it. To those who love God. What kind of love is this? This is spiritual love that can only come by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that we know how to be filled with the Spirit. And to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose, not ours. Now let's go back to Proverbs 16:20. Proverbs 16:20. He who gives attention to the word shall find good. People, it does not matter, and I really mean this, it does not matter what lies ahead for this country. Just doesn't. This country is not given any promise that it will be here forever. We have only been here for a very short time. Very short. Compared to other empires, my goodness. We were starting to fall before we hardly even began. So, it doesn't really matter what happens to this country. For you, for me, if we're resolved to stay in the Word of God. If we're resolved to stay in the Holy Spirit, it will work to our good. Now, let me make this clear. Let's jump to the tribulation. To work, to buy food, you had to have the mark of the beast, whatever that is. You had to have the mark of the beast. Believers are not to have the mark of the beast. They may die! That's good. They're home with the Lord. Who's going to say dying is not good for the believer? We're home with the Lord. So we determine to go with the Word, and we resolve to live by that Word. And then the last phrase sums it all up. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Now here again is where I prefer the Hebrew. The Hebrew says, he who trusts in the Lord is blessed. There are really three Hebrew words, and the prefixes and suffixes, and the verbs and all that, but three words. Trust, the Lord, blessed. That's the way this reads. It starts off with the great issue, walking by faith, faith in the Lord. And then there is blessing. It's a calactive participle. The calactive participle, keep on trusting. It refers to our walking by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So trust here is faith, total dependency on the Lord, not on the government, not on circumstances. If I don't have this, woe is me. If I don't have my guns, if I don't have the food, if I don't have this, if I don't have my TV, if I don't have all this, woe is me. No, doesn't depend on that. This is where you make up your mind that you're going to stay in the plan of God and work in regard to His Word. And then it said, is blessed. First of all, this Hebrew word is never used of God. It means to be in a state of bliss. Happiness in the soul. Happiness that does not depend on the circumstances of life. But one immediate relationship with the Lord. So people, it can be the most difficult of circumstances coming up in 2013, 2014. But that doesn't determine our happiness. Our happiness isn't determined on what we have or don't have. Whether or not we're still living by that Constitution and by the Declaration and by the Bill of Rights, it's not what our happiness is dependent upon. And you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make that resolve about whether that is more important to you than this book. More important to you than the plan of God. And I pray that each one of you will make determination to trust the Lord and resolve to keep on trusting Him every day, no matter what happens. That's Daniel. I don't care what happens. I've made up my mind. This is it. And we've got to do the same thing. They can take away our Constitution. They can take away all its rights. Take away all of our right to bear arms. And yet the believer who is resolved to walk by faith can have happiness in his soul throughout all of 2013. It is not dependent on circumstances. Our happiness in 2013 doesn't depend on circumstances. Doesn't depend on the Constitution. And I keep bringing that up because, people, I love that Constitution. I've studied the three parts of it. Talked about it, lectured about it in high school. But that's not what our hope is. That's a document written by man. It depends solely on our walk by faith in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit, and His leading. Okay, let's turn to Job. Job 33. I love Job 33, verse 31. You can almost see a parent saying this. This is so beautiful. Pay attention, Job 33, 31. Pay attention, O Job. Listen to me. Keep silent. Let me speak. You can just hear parents saying those things. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Listen to me. Shut up. Let me talk to you. See? This is just beautiful. Okay? Pay attention. Hit feel imperative. And while we've had the expression, Dan paid attention, Daniel paid attention, and so on, this word has a different meaning. Doesn't mean to pay attention as the word in Daniel did. It means to listen carefully. Pay attention means listen carefully. Pay attention to what I'm saying. In Daniel, if we wanted to do that, what would it be? Pay attention to what I'm doing. And Jehoshaphat was alarmed at what God was doing. This is pay attention to what I'm saying. listen to me. An imperative word to the Jews that becomes so important. Shama. Shama, O Israel. Listen. And then it says to me, this is the Lord through His Holy Spirit. And make sure Job has gotten it, what their message is, like speaking to a child. Keep silent. Don't try to defend yourself. Job was an ace at trying to defend himself. Trying to show how, God, you're wrong, I'm right. Just cut all that out and keep silent. Today we would more politely say, shut up. Say, but he says, keep silent. The Hiphil is because to keep silent that you can hear what I've got to say. A lot of times people want to talk instead of listen. I took several courses in college about communication. And one of the first things you learn about communication is be a listener. You've got to listen. You cannot communicate if you're not listening. Many people are trying to think of their rebuttal or what they're going to say while the other person's still talking. Listen. And that's what we have here. Keep silent. And then it says, and let me speak. The Hebrew actually says, I will speak. Please know that if you do not want to hear God, He will not speak to you. That's what it means. And let me speak. If you don't want to hear Him, He will not speak with you. Now, don't misunderstand. He's not going to leave you alone. He will bring disaster. He will bring His wrath. He will bring divine discipline. But if you want to listen to Him, you've got to be quiet. Okay. Coming off of being alarmed and determining and resolving, let's take a look at what's going on in America. By Christians. Look at Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. It's a frightening phrase, verse. It's very frightening. Zechariah 7, verse 11. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. Talk about describing America today. And I'm talking about even a lot of Christians. But they refused to pay attention. This is the same word we've had in Daniel now. And in 2 Chronicles 20. Let me tell you what is really alarming about this verse. Zechariah, listen now, Zechariah did not write before the Babylonian captivity. He didn't write before that kind of warnings and all of that. He didn't write during the Babylonian captivity. He wrote after they returned to Judah. After they returned. And you know what? They did not learn in 70 years of captivity. They did not learn. Look what it says. They refused to pay attention. They refused to listen carefully. Same word as in Job. They refused to listen carefully. There are in America a few churches across this country that is teaching the truth in verse by verse teaching. But Christians in America don't want it. They want the big, big churches, the Joel Osteen type of churches where you get emotion, you get your ears tickled, you get to feel good, everything is wonderful. It's not wonderful. Be alarmed. Be alarmed of what's going on and then resolve to truth. Americans do not want to listen to the teaching of truth. They want to be entertained and satisfied. They don't want to sit down and think and listen to the Word of God, to understanding what's going on in the Word of God. So our passage says, they refused to listen carefully. And then it says, and turned a stubborn shoulder. This means that no matter how bad things get in the nation, they're not going to come back to Him. And I'm sorry, I believe that's the condition of America. I think we've reached the point, no matter what happens, they're not going to come back. They're not going to turn to listen. They're going to turn a stubborn shoulder toward it. They refuse to listen carefully and turn a stubborn shoulder and stop their ears from hearing. Most frightening words in the Bible, in Isaiah 28, they would not listen. What does a parent do with a child that just won't listen? You can beat him, do all these things, tie him to the chair, get in his right in his face. He's not going to listen. Not going to listen. And that's the condition of these people. A horrible condition to be in, where you will not even listen to the Word of God. What is our challenge for 2013? To determine, to seek His Word, and to resolve to keep on doing that regardless of the circumstances. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 2. And I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. People, it's not about I determined it to know among you the Constitution, how well that document's written, all that's said in that document, the Bill of Rights. I determine that you know them. Here, here's a book. Here's a video. Here's a tape. Here's a DVD. Here's this. Here's that. Know these things. This is where the solution's going to be. No. For you and for me, we stand apart. I determine that you know Christ and Him crucified. And we could add Him resurrected. We studied why Paul didn't put that in when he said this. But this is our message, people. Christ and Him crucified. Used to be you read obituary, so-and-so's gone home with the Lord, so-and-so's home with their Savior. You don't see that hardly anymore at all. You don't see that anymore. They died. And then a long story of how they love dogs, or how they love sports, or how they love this, how they love that. Not how they love the Lord. Not how they love the Lord. People, we've lost our message. Christ and Him crucified. We got to be the ones that are on the watchtower. Let's close by looking at Isaiah 21. Isaiah 21. Verse 7. Isaiah 21:7. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, a train of donkeys, a train of camels, let him pay close attention. These are things of military things happening. But for you and for me, when you see these things start happening in America, when you see God taken out of our schools, when you see God taken out of the judicial system, when you see these things, these truths taken out of churches where they don't teach about a definite hell and a definite heaven. No, everybody's going to go. Homosexuality, same-sex marriages, on and on and on. When you see these things, look what it says. Let him pay close attention. Very close attention. You don't see that too often in the Word. Where you have, let him pay close attention, very close attention. Pay attention to what you're seeing. Be alarmed, as Jehoshaphat was in our study. Verse 8, then the lookout called, O Lord, I stand continually. There's our word, our phrase in our study. I stand continually. By day on the watchtower, and I am stationed every night at my guard post. People, that's us. If we're not on the guard post, Who do you think is going to tell them? Who's going to tell them about Christ crucified? The Muslims? The Mormons? The presidential and president and his staff? Politics? Education? Schools? No. It's going to be those in the battle. Those who have resolved where they're going to stand, no matter what happens. I stand continually. You know what that means? I'm not distracted. And I don't care what happens. This is my resolve. I stand continually. By day on the watchtower, I am stationed every night at my guard post. The ideal here is, the idea is, sleep doesn't interfere here. I'm on guard. I'm here to warn the others. So that's what we're here for, to sound the alarm. But someone, first thing you got to do is make up that resolve. I'm going to stand my guard. I don't care what happens. Economically, people, it's going to be tough during the tribulation. It is going to be unbelievable on a Christian who understands the truth in the tribulation to make their stands. With the mark of the beast and the dictator revived Roman Empire, the false prophet of Israel, all the things that are going on, wars, all the decadence in the societies, and the things that are happening with the skies and the earth and on the stars, all these things, it's going to be tough. Keep your focus. I'm resolved. And nothing's going to distract me from that. Not life, not death. And people, you got to understand, let me give you a little warning. Satan is a genius. He knows how to distract. He knows. If finances are your thing, if fun is your thing, if all the, whatever your thing, he knows. And he knows exactly how to bring that in to distract, to get you off of your guard post, from standing your guard. So 2013 will be a very challenging year for all of us in that respect. I would like to close with singing, what's the number? 177. And then we'll take communion.
Ah.
It's been our custom for, my goodness, going on 39 years, kind of close out the old year, bring in the new year with a celebration of the Lord's table. And I think everyone here knows what the elements are, so we'll just get ready to pass out the bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take the bread, the cup, each month, it is to remember our resolve, to remember that we belong to you because of what your Son did for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the bread that is his decision as God to become man and as man to take our place on the cross that we may have life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it," picture the cross, "and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until everyone has been served, that we may take communion with him and take it together. Please stand. The cup that we hold in our hand, symbol of how we're going to live through this next year. It's the cup of the new covenant. It's to remind us how we live each day in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, he, Jesus Christ, took the cup also after supper, after the Passover. Passover is over. This is for the church. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We look with enthusiasm toward 2013. Let it bring whatever it will. We're ready. We have resolved. We have determined where we set our face, and we're resolved to keep it there. And we know, Heavenly Father, that all things will work to good every day if we keep our resolve. Father, we thank you for these people of history. They're not any different than us. Daniel wasn't some super creature. Jehoshaphat, some super creature. Job. These are people just like us who came to the truth, who determined the truth and resolved to stay there. And Father, I pray your Spirit will take what we've seen tonight, use it for your glory and that of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now we're going to close with our traditional Auld Lang Syne, and everybody should be able to read it. Printed it up where everybody can be able to read it.
See you next year.